We're on Memhayam Bays, near the bottom by the Mishnah. Yet another thing in the series of Tikkun Olam things. The Tikkun Olam here will be at the end of the Mishnah. The Gemara will explain, will end up explaining where exactly the Tikkun Olam is in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamotzias ishto mishum shem ra, if somebody divorces his wife because of shem ra, there's rumors going around of those about her, lo yachzer, then he's not allowed to remarry her afterwards, even if it turns out that it was false. Why? We'll talk about in the Gemara two possible reasons. Rashi mentions them briefly over here. One of them is because later on the husband may say, you know what, hey, I would have never divorced her if I knew that it's false. Therefore, he's going to be calling her divorce into question. And therefore, it creates problems with her second marriage. That's one reason. And the other reason, that's called Mishum Kilkul. And the other reason, it's a knas, because we don't want Jewish women to be careless with arayas and also with nedarim, which is the other thing in the Mishnah. So like this, if we see that somebody is divorced because of a neder or because of a chashash of kritzus, and they can never remarry, that'll show people that'll show them that they need to take it seriously.
Yes.
In principle, he could. We'll talk about it in the Gemara, if it results in whatever way. Wait. No, because he didn't actually say anything. So wait, we'll get to it. There'll be a machlokas Rashi in terms of the subject. Wait. Okay. Mishum neder lo yachzer. And also, if he divorced her because of a neder, so she made a neder, he said, as we learned in Ksubas, that he can say, I don't want a wife who makes nedarim. Also, and he goes and divorces her. Also, he can't remarry her. Rabbi Yehuda, kol neder sheyodru by Rabim lo yachzer. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. If it's a neder that Rabim knew of, the Rashi says it means that she made this neder in public, lo yachzer, then he can't remarry her afterwards, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that such a neder is not, the husband is not able to be mefer. If it was done in private, he would be able to be mefer it. But if it was done in public, Rabbi Yehuda holds he can't. We have this concept of a week or two ago. Yeah, we talked about neder Rabim, neder hadas Rabim. The Rambam, by the way, gives a different reason behind it. Not so much that you can't do hafara, but if it was done barabim, then once it's publicly known, it's not basically not that you can't be made for it, but it's not right to be made for it. And therefore you can't remarry her. Rabbi Hodoim. Oh yeah, that's Rabbi Hodoim. Rabbi Meir. I'm a kol neder shatzarach chakiras chacham layachzer. Any neder that needs investigation by a chacham, meaning that you need to find a pesach or you need to find charata. It's not, we learned in nedarim that there's only certain kinds of nedarim of a wife that a husband can cancel, can be made for. Nidre inu nefesh, dvarim shebeina lebeina. Anything outside of that, you'd need a tamat chacham or a beis din of three to cancel it. Any neder that requires chakiras chacham. So now, the point is, the Gemara is going to explain that Rabbi Meir is not concerned about the knas aspect of it. He's focusing on the kilkul aspect. So if it's something that he's able to be mefer, he doesn't have an excuse afterwards. Well, you know what? I wouldn't have divorced her. You could have been mefer it. Nobody stopped you from being mefer it. But if it requires chakiras chacham, then he could argue, I didn't know that a chacham could be mafer it. I didn't know that there was a pesach available for this neder, etc. And therefore, he might be makalko, or he might mess up her second marriage. He might claim that the get was done under mistaken premises, and therefore that she's still married to him, and with everything that comes of that. If it doesn't require chakiras chacham, if it's something that he himself could have made for, then he could remarry her, because then there's no problem. He's going to divorce her. He's going to say, well, wait, later on after she remarries, wait a minute, if I had known, what do you mean? What do you mean if you had known? You're the husband. You could have been made for it. It says explicitly in the Torah you can be made for. You didn't. That's your problem. Isaac, by the way, has a different explanation of Chakiris Chacham versus not. We learned back in Nedarim, back in the summer, that there are certain kinds of Nedarim that have like an automatic Pesach with them. Nidre Havai, where like you make an exaggerated neder, Nidre Oinsin, where somebody is trying to convince you to eat by them and you make a neder to get out of it, etc. Those kind have sort of like an automatic Pesach built into them. Those are also the kind that are called Einat Sarah Chakiris Chacham, because again, there's no. They could have been canceled on their own. The husband should have realized that well enough and not jumped to go and divorce her. And if he does, then he doesn't have an excuse afterwards. I didn't know better. Amar Rav Elazar, like Osir Zeh Elamet Nei Zeh. Rav Elazar says no. Actually, what it is in both cases, the issue will still be that Lo Yachzer, he's not allowed to remarry her later on. But The only it's true in principle that in principle he says the other way around. We're not really worried so much about Kilkel. We figure, or the Gemara is going to spell this out, that Rabbalazar figures a person does not want his wife to go to Beis Din to be Matir Neder. So therefore, on the contrary, if it was something that requires Chakiras Chacham, that requires going to a Beis Din, on the contrary, he doesn't have an out. He doesn't have an out to make a Kilkel and say, wait a minute, if I had known, I would have sent you to Beis Din to be Matir Neder. Because Rabbalazar takes the view a person doesn't want his wife to do that. For reasons which we'll talk about in the Gemara. And therefore, he figures the other way around. The reason why the Chachamim said he's also to remarry her in the case where she made a neder that requires Chakiras Chacham, why is that? Not in and of itself. In and of itself, that shouldn't be an issue. He wouldn't have an out in that. He wouldn't have a problem of Kilkel with that. We only did that because it could be confused with the case where Elam Pnei Zer, because it can easily be confused with the case where it's possible for him to do Hafara. Where he would have the ability to be mechalkal her by saying, you know what, I didn't know I could be made for this particular neder. So he takes, in other words, basically the opposite view of he takes kind of the opposite view of what Reb Meir said. Reb Meir had said that if it requires chakiras chacham, then there's a problem. If it doesn't need chakiras chacham, then there's no problem because he doesn't have an excuse. He can't say I didn't know I couldn't be made for it. But Lazar is sort of saying the other way around. That when you need Chakiras Chacham, then there's less of an issue with it. However, we are going to be, then there shouldn't be a reason in and of itself in that case to say that he can't be Machzer, or to say that he could be Mekalkor. However, because it's easily confused with the other case, therefore we're going to say in both cases Lo Yachzer. So in other words, he comes out saying the same thing as the Tanakhama, Mishum Neder Lo Yachzer, without making any distinction between types of Nedarim. He's just, the underlying logic is the opposite of what Reb Meir uses.
And supposedly the Tanakhama.
The Tanakhama didn't give any reasons, but yeah.
Are we going to
explain the reasons? We'll talk about it in the Gemara. I'm going to be a Tzidah. Maisev Tzidah, it happened in the city of Tzidah. And Be'echad Sha'amala Ishtah Koinam in Eini Megarshah. There was a man who said to his wife, a Koinam, which we learned in Nedarim is a type of Neder, is a Lashon of Neder, if I don't divorce you, the Gersha, and then he divorced her, the Tzidah, Chachamim, Shiachdirana, and the Chachamim allowed him to remarry her. Now, what does that have to do with what we were talking about before? That the Gemara is going to explain what the connection is to the previous part of the Mishnah. Basically, what it is there's a difference between whether she makes a neder or whether he makes a neder. The story is a case where he made the neder. And the Mishnah finishes off with Tikkun Olam. What's the Tikkun Olam? That also looks lead for the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amen of Yosef Amen Yomi Amr of Nachman, Vuhu Sha'om Olam Mishum Shem Ra Ani Metziach Mishum Neder Ani Metziach. This that was saying in the Mishnah, that if he divorced her because of shame ra or because of nedarim, he's never allowed to remarry her. This is only if he explicitly told her at the time, when he's divorcing her, I'm divorcing you because of the shame ra or because of the neder. Why? Kasavar, because Rab Nachman figures, time of mine, Mishum Kokula. What's the reason why the Chachamim are telling us that he should never be allowed to remarry her? Now, obviously, by the way, when we say he can't remarry her, we're not talking about if she already married somebody else. That, anyway, is anyway also been outside of her. We're talking about if she didn't marry yet. The reason is, Mishum Kilkula, because if you allow that, then he would have the ability to mess things up for her after she remarries. He'll say, if I had known that this wasn't true, or I had known that this neder, that I would have been able to be made for or master this neder, then I never would have divorced you. Rashi uses the expression from a little further down in the Gemara, even if people had given me 100 mana, a fortune, I would never have divorced you. So that's why I said at the time of the Gerushin that I'm divorcing you because of the shame ra or whatever.
If
I had known, then I wouldn't. So now what happens? If I had known that the whole thing is false, right. That the whole shame ra is false, then I never would have divorced you, no matter what.
It's really a shame.
But the point, he has the ability. Not we're not talking whether he's shaved or not. We're saying he has the ability to make such a claim in Beis Din. Now he says, and if he makes such a claim, what he's going to do is retroactively it comes out the get was bottle, and in that case there are children with her second husband Amam Zerim and all the other problems that come with that. So therefore, better let's say that in that case, if he explicitly told her that at the time of the Gerushin, let's tell him you're never going to be able to remarry her no matter what, whether this turns out to be true or false. That way, he has his choice. He can wait until the matter is clarified and not jump to divorce her, or he can say, you know what, fine, I'm going to go ahead and divorce her anyway, and then that's it. Later on, he won't have the ability to come to Beis Din and make this claim.
Even if he stipulates by doing, when the time he said that it's as much as Shem Abras, that he's not going to attack the guest.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. He would have to. That's the thing. He would have. That's the thing. We're not even saying what we're saying is, according to this explanation, is the Mishnah is telling us that the Rabbanan prevent him from ever being able to attack the get with this claim. If he himself said,
right, sooner
divorces her. Fine, but we don't even need that. We're saying we don't need him to waive anything. Once he says, I'm divorcing you because of Shem Ra, because of Nedarim, automatically, therefore, he lost his right to ever attack again. Tosfos, by the way, discusses that maybe it's not, Tosfos says maybe it's not that, really. I mean, not necessarily would that be a valid enough claim to say the get is bottled. He didn't actually say, after all, that he's giving her the get on condition that this was the case. He mentioned that I'm divorcing you because of this. He didn't actually stipulate that the get is valid only because of that.
Right.
So therefore, Tosfos says, you're right, we wouldn't really say the get is bottled. It would rather be, there'd be a problem of laws. There'd be a problem that he'd start calling it into question. Which may be, therefore, so not necessarily fine. It wouldn't necessarily make for children from the second marriage, Ramzeirim, but it would start raising questions in people's minds. We don't want that either yet. Okay. So therefore, if he tells her at the time of the divorce that I'm divorcing you because of Shemra, Matzim Akalkala, then later on he has the ability, he would have had the ability, were it not for what our Mishnah is saying, to go and challenge the guest on these grounds. But if he didn't say any such thing in the first place, if he just divorced her without giving any reason why he's doing it, loy matzi makalka law, then anyway, he would have no ability to make such a claim. What would he say later? I wouldn't have divorced you if I knew that the moiti shemra was false. You didn't even mention the moiti shemra at the time. There's no reason for us to think there wasn't even a gilui das to say that you made it have to do with that. Yeah. So therefore, in that case, if he didn't say anything. What Rabbi Yosef and Yume is saying is, if he didn't say anything at the time of the giving the get, then he would be able to remarry her later. Yeah. Ikadamri, another version, Amr Rabbi Yosef and Yume, Amr Rabbi Nachman, according to the second version, Tzarech Shayyim Allah, Hevi Adas, Shemeshum Shemra, Ani Meitziach, Shemeshum Nedu, Ani Meitziach. No, not like the first version where it depends, it's optional, he could say that or he could not say that as he chooses. According to the second version, he has to say that at the time that he divorces her, that the Chachamim made such a tachana, that he has to tell her, mishum shemra ani matziach, why? Kasava, because according to this version, it would be that he holds time am I, what's the reason for our Mishnah that says lo yachzer, that he's never allowed, that they're never allowed to be married, kidei shelo yubnei Yisrael purtus v'arayis v'nedarim, because we do not want Jewish women to be careless with arayis or to be careless with nedarim. So therefore, like this, when we see that Arias or Moshe Shemra, the suspicion, a strong, a well-founded suspicion of Arias, or Nedarim causes a permanent divorce, and there's no possibility of remarrying afterwards, that'll teach people to be more careful with these things.
So one of the main reasons is not to allow the husband to receive the get, and the second reason
is Mishum Knaf. Is Mishum Knaf in order that B'nai Yisrael shouldn't be. Yeah. So Hilchah Tzarech L'Mei Melahachi, and therefore he has to tell her that she should know, and everybody else should know, why am I divorcing you, and why am I making it permanent that there's no possibility, as our Mishnah is saying, of me remarrying you, because there was Shem Ra, or there was Nedarim over here. And that way people will be able to take an object lesson from it. With that said, though, Rashi says, even if he doesn't say that to her, nevertheless, according to the second version, the din of the Mishnah will still be in effect. Lo yachzer.
The third said in the case of the Tzula, that if the husband claims she was not a Tzula, not also, right?
That was a specific situation that we talked about in Tzulas, which we learned last year. That was a case where it's not just the husband claims she wasn't a Tzula. Cases where she wasn't a Tzula could be any number of things. Could be that she was raped. Could be she was a mukateis. We talked about that at the beginning of Tzulas. No, it was a case where he had evidence, he had edim that she was mizaneh, doing the erusin. We learned in Tzulas over there. He has edus that she was mizaneh. She has counter edim to be mazim his. They go back and forth with hazama and counter hazama.
Well, I'm saying over there, he was not allowed to make a Moti Shemra on a Bas Yisrael?
Moti Shemra, we use the same term, Moti Shemra, for both of them, sure. But in that case, he himself knows that it was false, because his own Edom have been impeached by Hazama. Therefore, we go and punish him with Malchus and a Knaf and so on and so forth. Here we're talking about, when there's a Shemra going out, Shiyotza Allah Nus, Rashi says the expression, there's rumors going around it was Nus. It has to be, okay, we learned in Yavamas, it can't be that it's spread by known enemies of her, it has to be that it lasts a certain amount of time. There's rules about these things, but once there is such a thing, then if he's going to divorce her because of Shemra, then that's what we're saying. So we have two possibilities so far. One is only if he specifically mentions it, then lo yachzer, otherwise not. The other version is that he should mention it, and regardless whether he does or not, because of the knaf, we're going to apply this din of lo yachzer anyway. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kalishna Kama, Vatanya Kalishna Basra. So we learn one Braisa that goes according to the first Lashon, and another Braisa that goes according to the second. Tanya Kalishna Kama, Omer Rav Meir, Mepnei Ma Omer Amoti Yashishna Mishem Shemra Lo Yachzer, or Mishem Neder Lo Yachzer. Rav Meir says, now okay, we want to explain the Tanya Kama as well, not just Rav Meir, but Rav Meir is saying this, but he makes the distinction in our Mishnah between Chatiris Chacham and not, but still, we can assume that the Tanya Kama basically holds the same general principle. There might be a difference as far as the specific application, as far as what Nedarim it applies to and what not, but the basic idea everybody would agree to. Why do we say that a person divorces his wife because of Shem Ra or because of Neder, he shouldn't remarry her? Because she may go remarry somebody else. And it turns out that the whole thing was a lie of the Shem Ra, or in the case of a Neder, it turns out she was not the Neder. And he's going to say, Ilu Ayisi Adesh, he will say, the original husband, the first husband, will say, Ilu Ayisi Adesh Kainu, if I had known that was the case, I feel even if they had given me 100 mana, a huge fortune, Loi Ayisi Magarisha, then I wouldn't have divorced her. But Nimsa, get bottle of an Amamzerin, and then it's going to come out that the get is bottle and the children are Amamzerin. So, according to Rashi, he's actually bottle. We really would, if he were able to make such a claim, it would really be considered bottle. According to Tosfos, it wouldn't be bottle, it would just be a laz. It
didn't really attack the
laz. Because he didn't actually make a t'nai at the time of the get, yeah. So therefore, we tell him at the time of the divorce, therefore, we explicitly tell him, you should know that if you're divorcing her because of Shem Ra or because of Neder, you're not going to be able to remarry her. So therefore, at that point, if he goes and divorces her, then that's it. He forfeited his ability, he forfeited his right to be able to attack the get like that. So that goes according to the first lashon. Tanya Kalishna Basra, then we have a braisa that goes according to the second lashon. Omer of Elazar Rav Yitzi, with Nema Omer Amoti Yishishim Mishum Shemra La Yachzer, or Mishum Neda La Yachzer. Because we do not want Jewish women to be careless with arayas and with nedarim. Therefore, we tell him at the time of the get, Emor La, tell her explicitly, which is what the second lashon said he had to do. Tell her explicitly, Hevi Yadash Mishum Shemra Ani Metiach, Mishum Nedar Ani Metiach. You should know that I'm divorcing you because of Shemra or because of Nedarim. So then that fits with the second version, which is that he has to actually explicitly tell her at the time.
If he does not.
But no, if he doesn't, Rashi says it doesn't matter. Even if he doesn't, it's still the din lo yachzer is still in effect. According to this understanding that it's mishum knas, because we do not want people to be careless with arayas and nedarim, then it doesn't matter. He should tell it to her because we want it to be known in order that people will take a lesson from it. But regardless whether he tells her or not, the din is still a din. He can't remarry her afterwards, right? The Rambam, by the way, puts a slightly different spin on it. That it's not so much as far as the Shem Ra that we may find, like Rashi is saying over here, that it turns out that it was false all along, but rather she made you tshuva. And he'll say if I'd known that she's gonna end up tshuva, doing tshuva, and that there won't be a Shem Ra about her ever again in the future, or she's mocked in nether and there won't be any future in the Darim, then I wouldn't have divorced her. So I'm going to talk about how exactly that fits with the wording of the Gemara over here. One thing they mention is it could be, given that we have two different understandings over here of the din, whether it's because of Kilkul or because of Knaf, that Amma may have held, each of them has a certain validity in Halacha. And therefore, we have to not only consider what might have happened, what might have or might not have happened in the past, we also have to consider what might or might not happen in the future. Because again, that could still lead to Kyoko, yeah. Rabbi Huda, I'm a kol neder she yodu bird avim lo yasu.
That means,
no, so it means, in other words, again, at the time when he's divorcing her, they tell him, first of all, they tell him both things, basically. You should know that this has to be unconditional. There can't be any objecting to it afterwards. It's going to be a done deal. It's going to be a done deal. It's going to be definitive, yeah. And also, we tell him, you tell her explicitly that it's because of shame, ra, etc. But now, regardless, even if she does tshuva later, very nice, but still he's forfeited his right to be able to attack it. And so therefore that takes care of the kyoko problem, and the knas is still the knas is still a knas, because she may do tshuva later, very nice, but the knas is still for the past. Rabbi Huda called Neder she yodah b'Rabim lo yachsev, or she lo yodah b'Rabim yachsev. Rabbi Huda said it makes a difference whether the Rabbim knew of this Neder or not. Again, according to Rashi, it means whether the Neder was made in the presence of Rabbim, and or according to the Rambam, that Rabbim know about it. There's also some other Rishonim we talk about that we may mean over here, not so much whether it was done in the presence of the Rabbim, but rather, that's what I was just saying. But there could be the other possibility that we talked about back in the Lamed, about Neder al Das Rabbim. That Rabbi Huda's Yodu by Rabbim or Lo Yodu by Rabbim may not be so much whether it was done in their presence or whether they know about it, but whether it was done whether Neder was taken based on their understanding rather than his own. Which we learned there. We had a Gemara over there saying that's such a neder, you can't be mafia neder.
Nice question. No, he's on the initiative. I put the rabbin.
That's the point. He's giving them authority to instead of himself.
But we're still empowering him in a certain way by authorizing that.
Yes, he has the ability to authorize the tzibur, to authorize the rabbim to stand in his place for that, and therefore he can't be mafia neder without their consent. And again, he said unless it's for divine mitzvah, then yeah. My time at Rabbi Huda. What's Rabbi Huda's reasoning why he makes a distinction between a neder that the Rambam know about or don't know about? We have this Gemara in Ksubas as well, by the way. Dichtiv, we have a pasuk. The pasuk tells us in Sefer Yeshua how the people of Givon came to Yeshua and to the Jewish people. They're concerned. They're among the seven nations of Canaan. They're chivim. They know the mitzvah lo yisachayah kol neshama, the Jewish people have to wipe them out. They're concerned about that. Now they could have before the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael. There's the famous three letters that Yeshua sent them. They could have taken advantage of it then. They didn't. Now they figured it's too late. So therefore they figured they have to trick their way into it. They sent messengers who pretended to be from a faraway country. They're wearing ragged clothing and then worn out wine sacks and so forth. They look like they've been traveling for months. We're from a faraway nation. We want to make a peace treaty with you. Akitzer, they fooled the Jewish people into thinking that they were from a faraway country. They make a treaty with them. A couple of days later, they find out, no, they actually are in the neighborhood. And they, well, so now, so the pasuk says, so the Jewish people are very angry, but the Jewish people did not kill them. Because the Nesiim of the congregation had sworn to them that they were that's what we're going to talk about in a second, wait. So therefore, so Rabbi Huda figures that's an example of a shvur or neder or whatever that was done by Rabbim, and therefore there's no possibility of being mafia neder. Yeah. What would the Rabbanan answer to that? The shvur over there in principle shouldn't be chal in the first place. Like you just said, given the amru lo meretz chayka banu v'loy bo loychal the shvur yilavayu klal. The fact is, they said we came from a faraway country. The shvur was taken on that understanding, on that basis. They weren't. They weren't from far away. They were from nearby. Therefore, the shvur shouldn't be chal at all. So you know what? The reason why the Jewish people didn't kill them, it wasn't a matter of that technically they couldn't have, that technically they couldn't have been mafia the shvur. The shvur technically wasn't chal in the first place. They didn't kill them because it would make a chil Hashem. You don't want the goyim to say that Jews don't keep their promises. Now, Tosfos gets into the discussion over here, b'chlal. Never mind, I mean, the question could really be according to Rabbi Huda as well. It's a shvur levasa, it's a mitzvah. So the Torah gives us a mitzvah, lo yisachaya kol neshama. How could they even, forget about the question, okay, chil Hashem is chil Hashem, fine, that's a valid point. When Rabbi Hoda is saying, in principle, the shvura could have been, in principle, the shvura could have done a taras nedarim on it. But because it was Barabim, they can't. But how can such a shvura have validity, leaving aside the chil Hashem angle, if it goes against the mitzvah?
The same thing. Still.
No, no, so the answer that the Gemara is giving, that's a matter of Chilul Hashem, fine. That works according to Rabbi Huda as well. But what's the Gemara's initial question? What's the Gemara's initial statement that Rabbi Huda, you know where Rabbi Huda gets that such a Shavua has validity and you can't do a Turn of Sandarim on it because of this possible. This Shavua has no validity in the first place, since the Shavua should go against the mitzvah.
Yeah, so
Tosfos answers that actually even once the Jewish people had come into Eretz Yisrael, so you have again the famous three letters that Yeshua sent. Tosfos quotes that over here as well. That he said before they crossed the Yarden, anybody who wants to leave can leave, and the Gilgoshim did that and wound up in North Africa. The Gilgoshim you can find in some places in Chumash when it lists the nations of Canaan, it lists the Gilgoshim. In some places it doesn't. The Gilgoshim Omer Dupana, they went and left. I think I once mentioned before that there was a Byzantine historian about living about 1500 years ago who wrote in one of his history books describing when the Byzantine Empire reconquered North Africa. He mentions that he saw over there a couple of monuments that they had put up marking when they had founded their city. These people had founded their city 1,000-odd years earlier, that we came here, we were forced out of our country by the robber Yeshua ben Nun. Yeah, Procopius is the name of the historian. Anyway, yeah. So the Gilgoshim left. Number two was anybody who wants to make a peace treaty with us can, and they have to accept Shevet Mitzvah and Noyach and accept the subservient position and so forth. Nobody did that at the time. Later on, that's what the Gilgoshim did. And number three, anybody who wants to fight can go and fight, and that's what the other 31 kings and their territories all did, and then ended up getting wiped out. Yeah. So anyway, Tosfos says that actually, even once the Jewish people crossed over into Eretz Yisrael, if a nation wanted at that point to make a peace treaty with them, they still would be valid. At least Rabbi Huda would say that. Therefore, yes. So therefore, this shvur that they made to them wouldn't be in violation of the mitzvah of the Torah, but it was under the mitzvah of the Torah, lois l'chayah kol neshama. You're not allowed to leave any of the seven nations of Canaan alive in Eretz Yisrael. But if they
wish to leave,
we're not talking about if they wish to leave. Obviously, if they wish to leave, we're not going to harm them.
Right.
We're saying if they want to stay and lahashlim, they want to make a peace treaty with us. The Tosfos points out, based on the hemshich of the pesukim over there in Parshas Kitetzeh, they talk about this whole issue in Parshas Shoftim rather. Tosfos learns that it's not just before the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael that any nation that preemptively wants to make a peace treaty with us and accept Shevet Mitzvah and Noyach and so on and so forth can do that. Even after they crossed over, any nation could do that. So the Gevoinim could validly have done that. They didn't realize that. That's why they went to the. That's why they did this whole trickery. But in principle, they could have done it straight out. They could have pointed to Tosfos. They could have gone to the Jewish people straight out and said, "Yes, we live next door. We know we didn't answer your letters then, but it's not too late now. Accept us." Apparently,
how would they know?
We learned in Soita that when they crossed over in Eretz Yisrael and they put up the 12 stones over there on Har Evel and built the Mizbeach and wrote the Torah on it, they wrote underneath that you're not allowed to leave the nations in Canaan alive. L'man asher yilamdu etchem la'aseis, because they wrote in big letters like whatever it was written in all the languages. It was meant It was meant that everybody should know the reason we're not leaving them is because we don't want them to teach us their ways. So if they renounce their ways and they accept Shemitz of Menach and so forth, then you're fine. Yeah. So they knew that. So they should have known. They could have known that. They just didn't. From Mefarshim talk about various nuances in this. Maybe the Gevoinim to begin with didn't want to accept all of these conditions. Maybe they only wanted to give up over to Zara, and therefore that's why in principle at that point they're still not allowed to stay in Eretz Yisrael at that point. Only later on did they end up accepting the rest of the Shavim and Nanayah and a subservient position and so forth. Anyway.
Is it applied today?
What? I mean, the
Gevoinim of selling all your Zara in Eretz Yisrael.
In principle, yes. Practically speaking, I don't know to what extent this can be applied, but in principle, yes. The halacha is that when Jewish people have sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to leave any of David Azara to live in Eretz Yisrael yet. The Kamar Rabbim. So how many people is considered Rabbim? We're saying if the Neder is known by Rabbim. Rav Nachman Omer Gimel, Rav Yitzchak Omer Asara. Rav Nachman says it's 3 people, Rav Yitzchak says it's 10 people. Rav Nachman Omer Gimel, because just like we find Yomim by Nidah, not by Nidah, by Zava rather, Yomim Beis Rabim Gimel. The pasuk says that a Zava is when she's bleeding for Yomim Rabim, and we darsha in that Yomim means two, because the minimum plural is two, and the word Rabim makes a third one. So the same thing. So there Rabim means three. So the same thing Rabim over here means three. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Asara Dichtiv Eda. Rabbi Yitzchak says 10 because the pasuk says that the Nesiyeh her Eda had made sworn to them, and we know elsewhere that Eda is 10 because Amosa La Eda Ara Azoyt, the 10 bad Meraglim. So therefore, we know that Eda in connection with the minion and so forth means 10.
And practically?
Practically what? You mean Amosa Halacha? It has over here, it footnotes over here in Ein Mishpat to Rav Nachman, so I guess that's it, 3. Rav Meir Emakol Neder Shetzarech Chul. Rav Meir had distinguished between a neder that requires Chakiras Chacham and one that does not. That according to Rashi and most Rishonim, it means whether it needs a Taras Nedarim or whether the husband can be made for himself. According to the Ravid, it means whether it's one of those Nedarim that has an automatic out in it or not. So, and then we said also then the Mishnah continued with Rav Elazar that Loy Osru Zeh Alim Etnei Zeh, that really by rights the case of Chakiras Chacham should not require this din of any Yachala of any Machzer, only in the case where it requires Afara. But we go down one and versus the other. We go down one because it may be confused with the other. Tanya, Rav Elazar, he spells it out. They only answered the case where it requires Ataras Nedarim because it may be confused with the case where it doesn't need Ataras Nedarim. That's what they made it across the board because in the case of Ataras Nedarim, there's a reason to make the Zera, and therefore they made it also in the case.
Really, the Zera was made.
Only for the case where it can be undone by Hafara, where it can be undone by the husband, yeah. Remind me, Fagi. Rav Meir Sava Adam Roitza Shetiz Baza Ishtar Beis. Didn't Rav Meir hold that a person wants, or meaning he doesn't mind, if his wife gets embarrassed in Beis Din? So therefore, if it's a nether that requires a Taras Nedarim, he might still say, you know what, I didn't know at the time that she could go and do a Taras Nedarim, therefore I want to challenge the guest. Mishum Kilkul, as we said before. And therefore we want to prevent that. Rav Elazar holds that a person does not want that. Therefore, a nether that could only be cancelled and based in a nether that needs Ataras Nedarim, he anyway has no excuse to say, well, if I had known, I would have sent her to based in to do Ataras Nedarim. Because a person doesn't usually want to do that anyway.
So we want that an individual person to do it.
What?
Usually, a husband won't go to the
base. No, right. So usually, he wouldn't want, but his wife does. Ataras Nedarim. No, we're not. No. Therefore, according to Rav Elazar, she made a neder. He divorced her on the basis of that neder. He has no ability to be mekalkel her afterwards to mess things up for her by saying, you know what? If I had known she could have done Ataras Nedarim, I would have sent her to base to do Ataras Nedarim. So the person usually doesn't want to send his wife to base to do Ataras Nedarim. Of course, we talk about nuances in this. The Rashba, the Ritva, others talk about the different details in this. What does it mean? I mean, are we talking about the bizarion of going to Beis Din for Ataras Nedarim? So what, is the bizarion of her getting divorced any greater? So the Rashba says no. Of course it's greater. That's the question. So what do we mean? That's because the person doesn't want...
Right.
Therefore, the Rashba answers the bizarion is not really on her. Even though we're using the expression Shizbazish to the Beis Din, the bizarion is on him that people will know that his wife makes Nedarim. He doesn't want Beis Din to know about that. They also talk about and therefore, according to Rav Elazar, he would rather divorce her rather than let it be known that she made a neder. Okay, we're not saying that we're talking about the greatest guy. You know, that's what we said before, that when he comes to divorce her, we tell him, we have to tell him that this is permanent. Maybe he'll change his mind. And there's also they also talk about the question. Not everybody agrees to that because another way of looking at it is what about can she send a shliach to be matir neder? One way of looking at it is maybe this gemara proves that if she can't send a shliach, she would have to appear in person. Therefore, it would be a bizarion for her. Another way of looking at it is, no, maybe she could send a shliach, but if we go with the Rashba's understanding of Shizbazi Ishtar Beis Din, that he doesn't want that it becomes publicly known that she made Nedarim, then it doesn't matter whether a shliach is sent or not, yeah. He said there was a case in Sidon, somebody made a neder that I'm going to divorce his wife, he divorced her and he was able to remarry her. The question is my tana de katani maisa. What exactly? What was in the Mishnah that brings us to this story? What does the story have to do with anything previously in the Mishnah? The answer is chsurin. The Mishnah is missing words. It means to say like this: When is all this talking about the knas or the knas or the tiskalkel or whatever? Is oksha nadra he? Is if she made a neder? Aval nadra ihu. But if he made a neder to divorce her, for example, yaster, then he is allowed to remarry her because then there's no problem of kilkel. What is he going to say? If I had known that I could have been master neder, a person knows he can be master his own nedarim. He knows what psachim. He knows what pesach there can be for his own neder. If somebody else's neder, he may not know. His wife, yeah.
Does he know about his wife?
What? No, he might not know. If she makes a neder, is it the kind that I can be made for or not? Is it the kind, if it requires a Torah Chacham, is it the kind that there's a Pesach for or not? When a person himself makes a neder, they know what they're thinking. There, Amar of Yesu Rabbi Yehuda, Maisi Nami B'Tzidon, in fact, it happened once in Tzidon. Somebody said to his wife, a Koinam, an Isser of a neder, if I don't divorce you, a Gersha, and he divorced her, Vetiu, the Chacham Hashiach Zirana. And the Mishnah said, "Let's take an oil." So the question is, first of all, my koinam. What exactly was this koinam? Koinam, we learned in the Dorim, is a lashon of hekesh. So it would have to be he asked something on himself. What did he? We learned in the Dorim the difference between a neder and a shvua. A neder is chal on an object, on a chetza, and a shvua is chal on a person, on a gavra. So if he says koinam, if I don't divorce you, what kind of a neder is that? The case is that he said, all the fruit, all the produce in the world should be a konam, should be offered to me as if it was a korban, if I don't divorce you. So therefore, so that kind of thing, that kind of neder has validity. And then, so therefore, he had to go ahead and divorce her. But we say he will be allowed to remarry her after all, because fine, he fulfilled his neder, he divorced her, that's it, the neder is over now. And the Mishnah said, that they allowed him to remarry her. The question is, pshita. Why should there be a problem with him remarrying her? The answer is, now it came a little bit of nothing. We might think that maybe we should make it zeta that he's not allowed to because of what Rav Nosson says, which we learned a few times in Nedarim. The Tanya Rav Nosson, I remember. When somebody makes a neder, it's as if he built a bomber, it's as if he built a mizbeach during the period when they're not allowed to build mizbeachas. If somebody then fulfilled that neder, which he made inappropriately, it's as if he brought a korban on it, meaning like he made a complete aveda out of it, because as Rashi says, then he gets himself used to making the dorim, and then making the dorim is not a good thing. So you would think this person, once he made this nether and actually fulfilled it, rather than going and being master nether, maybe we should cancel him and say that he's not allowed to remarry her. Kamash Malon, therefore we're told that we're not making shakzeira on him. That's the point. That's the point. That's the Mishnah telling us that we don't do that. And the Mishnah finished off in Tikkun Olam. So the question is, my Tikkun Olam, where is the Tikkun Olam over here? If Tikkun Olam refers to the last story over here that was saying that he divorced her and he was allowed to remarry her in Tikkun Olam, where is the Tikkun Olam in something that benefits the whole Tzibur, benefits society at large? Where's the benefit? Rav Sheshes Aresha. So Rav Sheshes says these last words in Tikkun Olam is referring back to the beginning of the Mishnah. When we say that Hamotzias Ishta, Mishum Shem Ra, Mishum Neder, that he should never remarry her, that Takana is Mepnei Tikkun Olam. Because, according to the reason that we said on Amud Aleph, that the reason is because of Kilkul, or because of either reason, actually, whether it's a matter of Kilkul, that we don't want him to attack the validity of the get and cause problems for her second marriage, or that it's a matter of Knas, that we don't want people to be Parut, Ba'arayas, Vinadorim. Either way, either of those things is Tikkun Olam. It benefits Jewish society at large. Ravina Amal Olam HaSefer. This is actually we can say that the words Mepnei Tikkun Olam refer to the Sefer. What the Mishnah means to say, Ein Bazu Mepnei Tikkun Olam. In this case, that when Chachamim said that this person who made a neder to divorce his wife and divorced her, that he's allowed to remarry her, there's no Tikkun Olam involved. There's no reason that we don't say, like we just said, that because of a matter, maybe we should cancel him as a matter of Tikkun Olam to prevent people from making the darim. We don't do that. There's no Tikkun Olam involved over here. So that's the thing. Mepnei Tikkun Olam would mean that in this case, he's allowed to remarry her, and there's no issue of Tikkun Olam involved. Mishnah continues. Hamotzias Ishta Mishum Ailoinis. If somebody divorces his wife because she's an Ailoinis, so we learned in Yevamos, an Ailoinis is a woman whose body never physically matures, and she's incapable of having, she never grows Shteisiris, she has various other physical characteristics, and she can never have children. So he divorced her. He didn't know at the time when he married her that she's an Eilonis, and now he wants to divorce her. Now, Rashi and Tosfos deal with the question over here. We learned in Yevamos, and we also learned in Kesubos, that actually if a man marries a woman and she turns out to be an Eilonis, she doesn't need a get. If we told them, because we told it's a mechatos.
Not married to begin with.
Well, right, because it's a it was mechatos, it was kedushin tos. So, he didn't know that she was, if he had known she's an Eilonis, he never would have married her. So Rashi says that here we're talking about that actually it's not just he was Mekadosh her, he actually did Nisuin and had relations with her. At that point, we learned in Kesubos, we have a concept, Ein Adam Oseh Be'ilasa Be'ilasnus. The person is not going to want that his relations are going to be Be'ilasnus when it's possible for them to have been kosher Be'ila, even though, yes, at the time, presumably, when he was Mekadosh her, he meant to do it only if she was healthy, if she was a normal woman, not an Eilonis. But by the time he gets to Nisuin, he's setting that aside and he's going to marry her regardless. Yeah. Tosfos discusses differently. Yeah, that actually we're not talking about over here that this woman is a Vadai Eilonis. Yes, if she's Vadai Eilonis, then yes, then we would apply that. Then we would apply. So we learned in Yevamos, you have as follows. So we learned in Yevamos about the simanim. It was just in Rambam Shlosha Parakim yesterday. Usually a woman, once she becomes a nider, once she gets to 12 years old or thereabout, she develops shtei sairus, first of all, she develops hair, pubic hair, and second of all, she develops simina elyon, various physical changes in her upper body. And Eilonis, we learned over there, there's a couple of different possibilities. You can have, first of all, an Eilonis doesn't grow shtei sairus. Now, we had a group of simonim, a group of physical characteristics that are typical of an Eilonis. She doesn't have breasts, she feels pain when she's having relations, she has a deep voice that sounds more mannish, and a couple of other things. So there's a couple of possibilities then. You can have a woman who develops simone Eilonis, and the thing is, if she developed them any time by, the Rambam says, by 20 years minus a month, other Rishonim say 19 years and 1 month, whatever, then she's considered a Gdola at that point. She hasn't grown Shtei Sairus, but she has the Simonim of an Eilonis. That's it. She's a Gdola, however an Eilonis.
Cannot get married?
She could get married, but the man she marries has to know ahead of time that she's an Eilonis. And we learned also in Yevamos, it has to be that he's already been Mekayim Piri Vidivya. He can't marry an Eilonis if he's not going to be able to be Mekayim Piri Vidivya with her. So you can marry her. The second wife, you can marry her. If you already have children, etc. The Pashas, yeah. I mean,
you would have to divorce her?
Wait, what? You're talking about the Tichana of Rabbeinu Gershom about two wives? Are you talking about a man can't marry two wives? So then in that case, then he can't marry an Eilonis unless he already had children from a previous marriage. If he was married before and his wife died or divorced him, then he can marry an Eilonis, the Pashas, yeah. Anyway. So you can have a case where she has shtei sairus, which is the normal situation. You can have where she doesn't have shtei sairus and she does have the simonim of an Eilonis. In that case, then she's an Eilonis. Or you can have a situation we learned about in Yevamos that she doesn't have shtei sairus, but she also doesn't have the simonim of an Eilonis. Then the din is that she stays a katana until she's 35 years old. Once she reaches 35, which is half of a normal lifespan of 70 years, then we consider her a gdola automatically. So yes, Tosfos is talking about she's a sochet Eilonis over here. You can have the situation where we don't know for sure if she's an Eilonis. She doesn't have all these simonim. Different Rishonim talk about whether it has to be all of them or only some of them, whatever. But she also doesn't have shtei sairus. But the sochet, because the sochet she'd need a get. As opposed to Tosfos said, if she was a Vadai Eilonis, then you're right. You wouldn't need a get in the first place because the whole thing was back up to us. Anyway, so he divorced her because she's an Eilonis. Rabbi Huda Omer lo yachzer. Rabbi Huda says he's not allowed to remarry her because what may happen, she may marry somebody else. She does end up having children. It can happen sometimes that she was misdiagnosed as an Eilonis, basically. She's going to have children. This is also why Tosfos says we're talking about a sophic over here. If it was a Vada Eilonis, it would be a nest for her to recover, to have normal fertility. But if she was a sophic Eilonis, fine. She's just very developmentally delayed. Anyway, so again, the husband might say, like we learned, similar to the previous Mishnah, that if I had known she wasn't really an Eilonis, I never would have divorced her. Same problem of Kilkel. Same problem of Kilkel was in the previous Mishnah, that he'll quote, call her get into question. So therefore, Rabbi Huda says you can't allow him to remarry her. But Chacham says he can remarry her. Because the Chachamim are not worried about Tirgul. In the previous mission, there was more a matter of Knas. And here, there's no Knas. Well, it's not her fault that she's an Alonis. Nisus Lahat. So according to the Chachamim, we're not worried about Tirgul. We'll talk about it in the Gemara. That the Chachamim are not worried about the Tirgul angle of it. We'll see in the Gemara. Nisislach, what happens now if she does remarry somebody else? Vahoyula bonim him, and she does end up having children from her second husband. So now she goes back to her first husband and says, you divorced me without a ksuba, because you claimed it was mechachtos. Now it turns out I'm actually fertile. Give me my ksuba. Rabbi Huda, the husband tells her, you're better off being quiet than speaking. Meaning, because the husband can counter-argue, look, you know what, you're going to claim your ksuba on those grounds, fine, I'm going to counter-argue that I never would have given you a get on those grounds. And then your marriage now is going to be in trouble.
And it also means that she was an atheist in a way.
Right, which actually, now, so we learned on Amud Aleph, the Tosfos said that actually the problem isn't here that the get might be actually possible, the problem is rather lies, that the husband may object, may call it into question, not that it'll actually be possible. So Tosfos says that we see that from our Gemara over here, because if it was a matter of according to Rashi that the get would actually be possible if the husband raises that objection, never mind whether he raises any objections or not, it would be our responsibility as soon as we see that she has children from her second marriage to raise that objection. The fact that we don't see that, the fact that it's only Shikusa Yafa Midiburis that we tell her basically, let sleeping dogs lie, leave well enough alone, that shows that it's only a matter of laws. So the husband says, if you are willing to let the psula slide, then I'm willing to let that laws slide. Because it's not an actual psula in the get, just a potential laws. So Gemara says, So what are you telling me then? That Rabbi Huda is worried about Kilkul, that again, the husband can say, I never would have divorced you if I knew you weren't an Ilonis, and the Chachamim are not worried about it. Well, but we saw in the previous Mishnah that it was the other way around. And we said that the Tanakhama had just said that no matter what, any kind of neder or any kind of shemra, you can't remarry her. Rabbi Huda, I'm called neder Rabbi Huda had distinguished between whether it's a neder that's capable of ataras nedarim or not. So we see that the Rabbanan are worried about Kyokul, and Rabbi Huda is not worried about it. His reason for the Zeta in the first place is because of Knas.
It's just the opposite.
He would say it seems it's the opposite. So Shmuel says, you're right. You have to flip it around. You have to flip around the opinions in our Mishnah. Okay. The question is, so what about the continuation of our Mishnah? That if she remarried and had children, and she's demanding her ksuba, so Rabbi Huda says, tell her leave well enough alone. Which means that Rabbi Huda is concerned that the husband might have the ability to be mekalkel her.
And not
the chachamim. The answer is hanami epoch. Fine, you flip that around as well. Now, why are we saying we should flip around this Mishnah rather than the opinions in the previous Mishnah? One of the Rishonim, I don't now remember which one, says the reason is because in the previous Mishnah we didn't actually say anything. We didn't actually mention anything about Tokol or anything about Knas. The Gemara inferred it from the Mishnah, but we didn't actually have the opinions of the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Huda versus Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Elazar actually mentioning anything of this sort. In our Mishnah, when Rabbi Huda mentions the Shikusif Rafa Midiburah, that's a matter of Kyokul. So here we have it more explicitly, so it's more logical that we want to flip it around over here. Abaya Amal Olam Leitepuch. Abaya says, actually, you don't have to flip around the opinion. The difference is Rabbi Huda by he Sabalaka Rabbi Meir, the Sabalaka Rabbi Elazar. The difference is that The difference is, Rabbi Huda is indeed worried about Kyokul. Not like we wanted to say previously. So the first answer we gave was that the Chachamim are worried about it, and Rabbi Huda is not. Abaya's answer is, Rabbi Huda is worried about Kyokul. The reason is, right. Rabbi Huda by he's Savalakir Abmeir, but Savalakir Abalazar. Rabbi Huda, in the case of the previous Mishnah, he holds in a certain respect like Rabbi Meir and in a certain respect like Rabbi Elazar. But Tzarech Sabalach Rabbi Elazar, if it's something that requires Atzaras Adarim, he holds like Rabbi Elazar, that we said before, ain't adam roi to shizbaze ishto bebeisin, a person does not want his wife to go be matir neder in beisin. Therefore, if she made a neder that requires hacharas chacham, Rabbi Yehuda would say that there's no reason to worry about kilkul. He wouldn't have the ability to say in beisin, if I had known, I wouldn't have divorced her, because you don't want her to go to beisin anyway. So in that, he holds the Rav Elazar. When it doesn't need a taras nedarim, then he holds like Rav Meir, meaning if it's something that the husband himself could have been made for, Rav Meir had said the husband himself ought to know that he's able to be made for it. Rabbi Yehuda follows that opinion as well. So therefore, in the previous Mishnah, there's no possibility of kilkul. Regardless what kind of neder it was, there's no possibility of kilkul. So why did he make a distinction between a neder shiyada b'rid avim and not shiyada b'rid avim? It's because it's a matter of knas, because we don't want people to be careless with nedarim. Not because of kilkul, because Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no way to be able to do kilkul anyway. Whereas in our Mishnah, obviously there's no matter of knas here. There's no knas for being an eilonis. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda falls back on the reason of kilkul. And therefore, he says that you do have that concern over here. And therefore, layak. Amar Rava, in that case, Rabbi Yehuda kasha, Rabbanon like kasha. So what are you left with? You're for entering Rabbi Yehuda. So are you implying as if there's only a problem within the two statements of Rabbi Yehuda and not a problem with the two statements of Rabbanon? And Rabbanon also contradicting themselves. How are you going to find for that? El Amar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, Kedeshaninan. Fine, we have the answer that Abaya just gave. That works for Rabbi Yehuda. Did Rabbanon, like Kasha, because Man Chachamim Rabbi Meir, because who are the Chachamim in our Mishnah, who say that Yachzir, who said there's no problem, he can remarry this Ilonis, that would be specifically Rabbi Meir. Dama Be'in and Tanai Kofel. Rabbi Meir says that any time you make a Tanai on something, we learned about this previously in Yevamos, I think, and the main place the Gemara discusses it is in Kedushin, that a tnai has to be a double tnai. This is in today's Shlosha Parakim of Rambam. When you make a tnai on something, there are several conditions. One of them, we learn all of them from the tnai of Bnei God and Bnei Reuben, the condition that Moshe made with Bnei God and Bnei Reuben, that how they'll be able to inherit land on Eretz Yarden if they go and fight together with the Jewish people to conquer Eretz Yisrael. One of the things over there is it has to be tnai kofel, that you mention both the positive and the negative. Moshe then does that over there. If Bnei God and Bnei Reuben cross over, then they were to get this land. And if they don't cross over, then they were to get land in Eretz Yisrael proper.
If they don't cross into Eretz Yisrael.
Cross into Eretz Yisrael to fight together with the army.
Then
they will not get this land in Eretz Yisrael.
But if they do, they will.
Right, but it has to be the other way around. That's another condition. It has to be Hein Kodem Lav. We'll learn about that in Kedushin as well. You have to have the yes comes before the no.
If they do, they will.
If they do, they will. If they don't, they won't. Yeah. So the mayor holds that. So therefore, in our Mishnah, there's no double tonight. He didn't say when he divorced her, he didn't say when he divorced her that I'm divorcing you because you're an Ilonis, but if you're not an Ilonis, then I don't want the get to be in effect, which would be a double tonight. He didn't say that. Therefore, it's not a valid tonight anyway. We would ignore any such statement. Any tonight that's not fully valid according to all the rules of tonight is no tonight at all. Therefore, we would ignore that. We'll learn in Kedushin, and some machlokas about that. Actually, the Rambam mentioned a further machlokas about that. There are some of the Goinim who hold that this concept of tonight kofel only applies in dinah ishus, in kedushin and gerushin, but not in dinah mamonis, for example. And the Rambam says no. The actual case of Bnei God and Bnei Reuben for dinah mamonis. Yeah. So it applies across the board. Yeah. Anyway, so over here he didn't make a double tonight. So therefore the whole tonight falls away anyway. So therefore that's it. He divorced her without any condition, and therefore there's no possibility of kilkul later. In the previous Mishnah there's the matter of knas. In our Mishnah, the knas is not relevant. But in the previous Mishnah, there is the possibility of kilkul, because you can argue that I never would have given you the get if I'd known such and such, but that's because there was a tnai kofel involved. Here, there's no tnai kofel, so he has no ability to say that. He's going to say later, I wouldn't have divorced you if I had known you were an Ilonis. Fine, you didn't spell it out, though. You didn't spell it out. With a tnai kofel, therefore nothing doing. Yeah. And therefore he can't argue against it, and therefore no problem with kilkul, and therefore gives him to let him remarry her.
Let him remarry.
He could, that's what we're saying. Yachter, that's what the Chacham is saying. The Yachter is allowed to.